Thanks for tuning in to this episode of FinTech Focus TV, powered by Harrington Star, the global leaders in financial technology recruitment. Head over to the Harrington Star website where you'll be able to find all the latest jobs in financial technology across the globe. You'll also be able to download the latest issue of the Financial Technologist magazine, including the Top 1% Workplace Awards. Finally, if you're looking to grow your team, please get in touch. Enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to another episode of FinTech Focus TV, coming here live from FinTech Connect. We're on day two. It's been a fantastic couple of days of talks, interviews, networking, people, everything in between. And today it's an absolutely great pleasure to bring Ari in from Finit Legal. Ari, how are you?
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you.
So listen, you've had a great couple of days by the sounds of it. Lots of people to meet, lots of people to discussions to be having. And you'll bring an interesting twist to the whole piece here, looking at UK companies who are looking to move out to Europe. We're going to talk a little bit about that and how you can help navigate some of the complexities around all of that. Before we get into it, tell us a little bit about yourself and the business.
Yes, thanks very much. My name's Ari Vinnenbergen. I have over 20 years of experience in the legal profession. I started as a lawyer back in 2000. I worked for about 10 years as a lawyer. In the Netherlands, then I moved to the financial sector, so I worked at different financial institutions, including Deutsche Bank, ING, and for about 7 years at an online bank called Knop.
Okay.
I don't know if you heard of it.
I have it, yeah.
Oh, that's great. So when I started, they had about 15 people, and when I left, it was like, they had about 500 people, so they grew a lot.
Yeah,
thanks. And I helped out from a legal perspective to set up the services. And about 2.5 years ago, I started my own law firm called Finit Legal. And we're helping out fintech companies with legal and regulatory advice, including license applications. And that's one of the reasons why I'm here. Because increasingly, we see that UK companies are looking for an establishment in Europe, in continental Europe, because of Brexit, and they're looking to obtain a financial license. And the Netherlands is an attractive venue for that. And I have a couple of clients that I'm also assisting with that. And I'm here to meet new clients, also existing clients, and also to see what the regulatory developments in UK are.
And there's been a lot of appetite, as we were talking about beforehand, about what's happening in the marketplace at the moment. And I sort of speculated that I might know what was driving UK companies to invest in licenses out in Europe a little bit more. But tell me your view of what's happening over in that space.
So currently, a lot of UK financial institutions are using what is called the reverse solicitation, which means that they cannot actively target clients in Europe, but clients can approach them independently to do business. Mm-hmm. But if you want to grow in Europe, you want to target your clients, right? So in the end, you want to obtain a license if you want to grow in Europe. And then the question is often like, well, what country should I go to? Mm-hmm. We've seen in the past that a lot of clients, not my clients, but a lot of companies were going, for example, to Lithuania, mm-hmm. or like the countries that
Luxembourg was being talked about quite a while from my view.
I think Revolut was still established in Lithuania. We see increasingly that reputation is also important, mm. and also the predictability and transparency of the regulator. Mm. And therefore, we also see that a lot of companies are coming to the Netherlands for different reasons. The Dutch regulator is knowledgeable, has a good reputation, is approachable, so you can contact them before actually handing in the license application and to discuss topics. And once you have the license, you have a good standing if you do business internationally. So Well, we're helping out a couple of fintech companies, EMIs, with their license application. It's interesting to see that the UK is also making a shift, because increasingly I hear that the FCA is becoming harder and harder to obtain a license.
Yeah.
And I even heard a number yesterday that about 10% of the license applications actually succeed.
Is that right?
I don't know, but that's the number I've heard. What we see is that the FCA is also increasingly topping up the requirements for license application.
Yeah.
We had some clients who were under the impression, since they were FCA licensed, you just make a couple of twists to the documentation, you look at it from a Dutch legal perspective, and then it's done.
Yeah.
And from my experience, it's not that easy. First of all, of course, you have the Dutch specific legal requirements, but also the documentation, there are differences in what you need to provide. In the end, it's a process that takes quite a while. Mm. Like in general, obtaining a license would take between 9 and 12 months, but it really depends on the company and also the procedure for the license application. Another interesting thing to see is in Europe, we're also constantly developing the legal framework.
Mm.
And it seems like Europe is ahead in terms of a couple of things. One is the PSD3, the Payment Services Directive 3, and the PSR proposal.
Yeah.
Another one is, if you look more into crypto and blockchain, is the MiCAR proposal.
Yeah.
What I find really interesting, I was yesterday also at another conference where it was a panelist talking about the future of payments and regulation. And what you see is that in the European proposals, but also in the UK proposals, it's the same topics that come up.
Yeah.
And we had a very interesting discussion on that yesterday.
I think that's a really interesting piece, isn't it? Because there is real appetite from, I'm sensing it even around here over the last couple of days, there's a real appetite for businesses to expand their opportunities, to recognise that there are pressures domestically in certain areas and opportunities to then do that in a post-Brexit world, to look at those sort of things. You amaze me then about the sort of the data you said about the potential number of licenses that don't go through, but then also the time span that people think about. And when I talk to a lot of fintechs out here, full stop, they have issues getting into financial organisations about the procurement process and how long it takes, and they haven't necessarily factored that in. I imagine it's a similar sort of basis where people are talking about, right, we want to start up in Holland, and then we're suddenly finding out that we've got to wait 8-9 months to have licensing come through. So helping educate people around that, I imagine, is a big part of the process as well for them, right?
Yeah, no, certainly. So I experienced in the past that there are also fintech companies. They want to get the license as soon as possible, so they kind of overreact and they're too fast in the process. And I would say, once you start the process, it's really important to really make a good plan and think ahead. What country do I want to go to? What are the pros and cons of different countries? What legal advisor should I take? In the end, if you start too fast and you submit documentation, for example, that's not good enough, in the end it backfires.
Yeah.
So I think a good preparation is critical. Very important.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think that's the same across all areas, that people are there and they see runways moving and they want to do everything tomorrow. But that sort of discipline, I think, is an important part of it. And of course, then selecting the partners, right? It's about having the right partners, yourself included, to make sure that you're making the right choices and doing things that allow people to be successful.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about your business and where it's all heads. You started it 2.5 years ago, I think. I think you mentioned, just as we were in a phase of, I guess, starting to see massive volatility across the macroeconomics and everything else in between and all those sort of things. How's the journey been? What are you excited about in 2024? Where's it heading?
Yes, well, that's a great question. Thanks very much. So my business is going really well. I have a very diverse portfolio of clients. So license applications is a big part of it. I recently completed the license application for a crowdfunding service provider. I'm working on different PSD2 and EMI license applications, also, as I said, for UK companies. But I'm also providing legal and regulatory advice on a big range of topics. We can talk a little bit later on about what kind of topics there are currently in the legal space. I'm currently working together with a lot of partners, because a license application is something you don't do just by yourself, right? You want to partner and discuss topics and replace each other when needed, etc. So I have a couple of partners that I work very closely together with. And actually, one of the partners, cooperation goes so well that we're going to have discussions and maybe joining forces together.
Okay.
So that might be a development for next year.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to. I'm looking to opportunities in the market, and this ties into legal developments. So. Mm-hmm. One of the
which change all the time, right?
Exactly, and that's, to be honest, that's my business, right?
Yeah.
For example, in Europe, we now have the Digital Operational Resilience Act. It's a very extensive regulation covering all IT aspects of financial companies. So from the procurement phase to monitoring to security to contracting, everything, and it will enter into force on the 17th of January 25. So it's still a little bit ahead, but we see that the regulators are already becoming concerned about compliance, because it's, as I said, there are a lot of legal requirements in that. They're also, if you do a license application, they're already looking into it. So that is one of the areas of interest for me, to see how I can try to help clients from a practical perspective to be compliant with those laws and regulations.
A lot of opportunity, isn't it, with that? And I think you're right. To have that sort of support and advice is critical for businesses that are going into it. If you're sat there and you're thinking, right, companies who are pushing into Europe, to the Netherlands over the course of next year, have that on the agenda, what are some of the sort of core challenges that you think they should be thinking about, and what should they be talking to you about this year?
Yes, so if we talk about IT, I think it's crucial to have the awareness in the whole organization.
Yeah.
So it starts with the management.
Yeah.
It's not sufficient that you have people on the floor who know about IT, but you need to have all the expertise in-house. But also it needs to be implemented all throughout your organization. And that's often what you see, there's an IT security officer who is responsible for, the whole process, right? But it needs to kind of seep through the whole organization in all of the procedures and processes. And that is the, I think, the challenge, because often what you see is policies are just a piece of paper, right? Yeah. So you write it down, but if you ask people, how does it work with you? They often don't know what the policy says or how exactly it works. So it's with it, in general, if we're talking about a license application, IT is just one aspect, right? But the challenge is not to just document something, but to actually make it work in the organization.
Yeah.
And for that, you need people who are hands-on, practical, know how to translate legal requirements into functional and practical requirements. And I think that is often the hardest challenge for startup companies.
Yeah.
Because it's not their focus of attention to draft policies and procedures. It's just something they need to get through to the license procedure.
That's why they need to partner with the right people, right?
Certainly, yeah.
So if they're watching this and they're listening to it and they're hearing this resonate and they're thinking, yeah, this is exactly my problem, this is how I need to help out, what's the best way for them to reach out and get in touch with you?
In any way, like you can go to my website, finniclegal.nl. There you have a contact form, you have all my contact details, you can contact me through LinkedIn. Anyway, I'm always approachable, so whatever they prefer. I would be happy to be in contact with new clients. Please.
Fantastic. Well, listen, I wish you the very best of luck. Hopefully there's loads more networking you can do later on today as well and help more companies take on the opportunity.
Yeah, and I'm meeting some clients today as well.
So perfect. Well, have a good one.
Thanks very much.
Thanks for coming on the show, and thank you all for watching. We'll see you on the next episode of FinTech Focus TV. Thanks a lot. Bye.